That's my favorite song. Did y'all know that? She did that. That is the theme song of my generation. And so thank you so much for that. I'm so sentimental, I'm about to drown in sentimentality. Well, thank you for being here tonight. I'm going to tell my favorite, one of my favorite stories. And it is this. A fellow was going to a costume party, and he went in, and the only costume that they had in his size was a devil's suit. And he said, well, I don't really know if I want to go to a costume party in a devil's suit or not, but that's all they have, so I'll take it. So he's walking to the costume party, and it begins to rain. So he ducks in the first building he can find that's open. What happened to be a little Baptist church, and they were having revival. And so you can imagine the preacher's up there preaching, and in walks the devil right in the middle of the revival. Excuse me. And the preacher runs. Everybody's running, trying to get away, and he feels so bad. He's trying to tell people, I'm sorry, wait a minute, it's just a costume anyway. Everybody leaves the building except one little lady is in the back corner, and he's walking over to her, and she's, as he's walking to apologize and to explain, she says this. She says, Satan, stop right there. I've been a member of this church for 38 years, but I want you to know I've been on your side the whole time. Oh, I've passed, and I later pastored that lady. Okay, let's turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Actually, we're going to see whose side you're on tonight. I'm talking tonight, and you've got study notes, and we write this in the back of our Bible at our church, and I want you to know this because from time to time you may ask yourself, how do I know what God's doing in my life? How can I know where I'm at and what God is saying to me, what God wants me to do? How do I know? How do I know if I'm doing what God wants me to do or not, or what's going on with that? And so years ago, I discovered this, and I think this theme runs through the Bible, all through the Bible. And so I can preach this sermon about Jonah, Noah, Moses, Peter, a lot of different people. But I first discovered it when I was preaching through the book of Acts. And so you know what happened here. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, and he was going to Damascus to persecute the church. He saw a great light, and it blinded him. Excuse me. Is this water for anyone, or do you have to? There's a sandwich back here and a Snickers bar. Visit among yourselves. So, Saul's blinded, and he's told to go to a house. And then we're gonna look at Acts chapter 9, and let's start with verse 11. Let's start with verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has been told in a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Now, verse 13 is real important. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard much about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all those who call upon thy name. Verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you are coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. He arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Well, I want to pray with you tonight. Would you pray with me? And your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and you're praying this tonight with me. Lord, I believe you're working in my life. I believe, Lord, you're working in my church. And Lord, I believe you're working for your kingdom's sake. So Lord, help me understand how I fit in. Help me understand what you're calling me to do. Help me to understand where I'm at in my relationship to you. And Lord, help me be like Ananias, obedient, faithful, courageous. Help me be him, like him tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to tell you, I believe God's always doing his work and is getting and doing his business. And I want to show you four principles tonight that it's how you know where you are and what God's doing. The first one is this: God is always getting your attention. Now that's a wonderful thing to say, because the Almighty God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he is always getting our attention. He loves us enough to be concerned about us. He loves us enough to try and have a relationship with us. We can't know him, but he knows us. And he's always trying to get us to pay attention to what he's doing. Well, the story of Ananias is this. Ananias saw a vision. And the vision said, go talk to Saul. And God was got his attention in the vision. God's always getting people's attention. For instance, we study the life of Moses. Moses is out in self-exile on the backside of the wilderness, and he sees a burning bush. Now, a burning bush that was not consumed, guess what that did? That got his attention. God's always trying to get your attention. He's always trying to get you to listen to him, to hear him, to pay attention to him. And it's not because God needs that. It's because God loves you and he wants you to have a relationship with him. And so God's always trying to get our attention. Now, mostly it happens in two ways. Mostly God tries to get our attention through Scripture. God has revealed himself in Scripture. And so God's always going to get our attention when we study Scripture. In Psalms 143, I was reading through that, and it said something I really liked. It said, Lord, answer me quickly. Don't you? Isn't that the way you pray? Lord, answer me quickly. And I underlined that, and I thought, well, I'm going to memorize that. Well, okay, I did. Lord, answer me quickly. But if you keep looking in Psalms 143, the Lord has a way of doing this. It says this: teach me to do thy will. How did God answer my prayer? By telling me, pay attention to my will, and I'll answer your prayer. And so God's always trying to get our attention. And so sometimes we want to ignore him, but Scripture. Listen, I want to tell you something. You want to know what God is doing in your life, you've got to read your Bible. You got to read your... Joe, I had to teach him what this means. This is Greek sign language for amen. You got to read your Bible. God will speak to you through Scripture. God's always spoken through Scripture. And however God speaks to you, now listen to this, it will always conform to Scripture because that's God's holy word. And so God speaks through Scripture to us all the time. But God, excuse me, also speaks to us through struggles. And so we have struggles in our life. And we wonder, why am I going through this? Why am I having this difficult time? Why am I having this health issue? Why am I having this financial issue? Why am I having this situation in my life or in my church? Why am I having that? Because God is trying to get your attention. And God wants your attention. And he knows that if when everything's going well, and if everything's going just as smooth as possible, you may not pay attention to him. But when do we pay attention to God the most? When we have struggles. Is that right, church? And so when you have a struggle and you say, why am I going through this? God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to pay attention to something. He's trying to get you to pay attention to his word, to pay attention to your prayer life, pay attention to your church. Why is that? Why does God put churches through tough times? Why is that? Why do some churches have to go through a tough time? You know why? Because God's trying to get their attention. God's trying to get them to focus on him. God's trying to get them to face him and look at him. That's why God's always trying to get our attention. He's always trying to get us to pay attention to him. What do we want to do? We want to pay attention to our own self. Is that right? We want to pay attention to what we want. And so God's always trying to get our attention. I love this story. My middle daughter was a pretty good basketball player. And she could make three-point shots. When she was a fifth grader, she led our little basketball league in three-point shots. And she was pretty, she could dribble. And, you know, that's, if you want to play basketball, you got to dribble. Right? She could dribble. And so in seventh grade, all these girls are out for basketball. And they're girls that, you know, we know and everything. And coach is one of our best friends, and he's coaching the seventh grade girls. And I'm sitting in the stands just because I'm one of those kind of guys that likes to watch stuff like that. And our coach name was Coach Dillard. What's his first name? Did he change it? Greg, yeah. Greg. And Greg says, girls, they're all huddled around him. And guess, they're seventh grade girls. No offense, seventh grade girls. Guess what they're doing? Somebody say yapping. Yep, 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 yep. And Coach Dillard says, girls, be quiet and listen to me. And they'd all look up at him for a moment, and all of a sudden, yep, 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 yep. And I'm sitting up in the stands. I'm laughing as hard as I can because Coach can't say a word because they won't pay attention. And he says, he didn't say, this is the play we're going to run. This is what we're going to do. You know what he said over and over and over? Girls, shut up and listen. And I'm telling you that many times in our spiritual life, we need to be still and pay attention and listen for God. We need to hear what God has to say. And so God's always trying to get our attention. Now here's the second one. And by the way, it's the most important. God, this is where most people land, especially Sunday night church crowd. God's always testing our availability. God's always testing our availability. So in our story that we read tonight, the Lord speaks to Ananias and said, I want you to go talk to Saul. Well, Saul's been persecuting the church, right? And what does Ananias say? Lord, he's a bad guy. We've heard rumors about him. I don't want to get dragged into court. And so God's always testing our availability. God said, no. Now listen, Ananias, he's my chosen servant. God's always testing our availability. You ready for this? Moses, story of Moses, sees the burning bush, and God calls him. What does Moses do? He says, yes, God, boy, I'm ready to serve you right now. Is that what Moses does? He says, no, I don't speak well. And then he says, They won't listen. Who are you anyway? God's always testing our availability. Just last week, I spoke to our teenagers on their Wednesday night, and I spoke about Jonah. And you know, a lot of people are running from God. Did you know that? Oh, Jonah, running from God. And I told our teenagers, I'll tell you, you can be in church and be running from God. And so God's always testing our availability. Now, I'm convinced this is the where most people live. They know what God wants. They understand God's call on their life. But God's always testing their availability. And they're deciding, am I going to be available to God or not? Am I going to make myself available to God? Am I going to be obedient or not? And so a lot of times what we do is we set up a spiritual boundary and we'll say, God, I'll go right here, but I can't go any further. And so am I available to God? No, not if God's calling me over there, not if God's calling me over here. And so we're always dealing with that. Years ago in the 1980s, I was on a mission trip to Spain, and I've had 4 years of Spanish, Brother Joe. 4 years. I can barely order at the Taco Bell. So language is just not my, okay. But I'm in Spain, and I've preached, and I'm teaching about Sunday school, which they had no idea, no concept. It's just foreign to them. And I get real burdened. I'm in a church in Sevilla. And then the next week, I go to a church in, how they pronounce it, Barcelona. And I'm all by myself one day in a hotel, a little hotel, little bed. I'm all by myself. The pastor works. I'm left alone. I'm in Barcelona, Spain. I'm trying to teach this concept of Sunday school and adult Bible study. It was adult Bible study. I'm trying to teach how that's important. To get together and teach the Bible. Everybody agree with that? And so I'm just thinking, and I get on my knees next to the bed, and I got a brand new baby at home, and I got a 3-year-old at home, and I get on the bed and I say, Lord, I'm not very good at Spanish, but if you want me to come to Spain and help these people understand how to reach folks through Sunday school, I'll do it. I'm available. And I promise you, this is how it went. I made that commitment, and all of a sudden I felt the answer from God is, no, thank you. You can't speak Spanish, but you can send missionaries, and you can support missions. Somebody say amen. And it's one of the sweetest moments in my life. And God said no. But I'd said yes. God, I'm available. When I was a teenager at Falls Creek, thank you for singing Pass It On, but I remember when they introduced the hymn, The Savior is Waiting. And I stood there with my friend named Karen, and we were eighth graders. And I stood there with my friend Karen, and we shed tears. The Savior's waiting. And I made a commitment that night. I said, God, you'll not have to wait for me. When you say go, I'll go. When you say come, I'll come. And we stood there as little eighth graders crying and asking God, God, if you'll use us, we'll be available. And so God's always testing your availability. Now, the truth is, this is where most people live. They may know what God wants. They've heard the sermons. They've heard the Sunday school lesson. But God's calling them to be available to serve Him, to be available to be the man of God that He wants you to be, the woman of God He wants you to be, the leader that He wants you to be. God's calling you to that. And you know that. God doesn't give unclear call. And so you know that. but I'm not quite available. I'm scared of what might happen. I'm afraid of what it may cost me. So God's always testing our availability. And then third, God's always changing our attitudes. God's always changing our attitudes. Look at the stories I talked to you about. First of all, Ananias. I love this part. This is the part that I just love the most. Ananias goes into the house and he sees Saul, who's persecuted the church. Saul persecuted the church, right? And he looks at him and he says, "Brother Saul." You know what happened? God had changed his attitude. God had broken his heart for Saul, the persecutor. Changed his attitude. I can't help it. I love this stuff. Do you know when Moses said, "I don't speak so well, they won't listen"? But if you keep reading, Aaron didn't get to say hardly anything. You know why? God changed his attitude. And as you keep reading a little bit, Moses marches right up to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the earth, and says, "The Lord says, let my people go." And I think it sent a shiver down Pharaoh. Why? God changed his attitude. All throughout Scripture, you see how when God works in the lives of people and they make themselves available to him, how he begins to change their attitude. Changed Paul's attitude. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. Changed his attitude completely. The Bible talks, it says that we need to renew our mind, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So God's always changing our attitude. I want to tell you folks, let's listen to this tonight. When God is at work in your life, your attitudes change. You become more like Jesus. When God's at work in your life, you begin to think different. You begin to see people differently when God's at work in your life. And so I want to encourage you, where are you at in your walk with God? Let's review real quickly. God's always trying to get your attention. A lot of times it's through Scripture. We're talking about Scripture tonight. Sometimes, many times, it's through struggle. But God's trying to get your attention. He wants you to pay attention to Him. He's testing your availability. Every time we stand and give an invitation, God's testing your availability. Are you available for Him? Are you holding back? Are you saying, "No, Lord"? Are you saying, "I can only give you 50%, Lord"? I can only give you Sunday morning, Lord, Sunday night? Are you committed to Him fully and completely? God's calling you for that. I want to tell you about my call to be a pastor. I'm at Falls Creek. And our tradition, I don't know why, but our tradition was the boys all sat together and the girls all sat together. We weren't Jewish, but that's how we sat at Falls Creek. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but this is the truth. We stayed up a little late at Falls Creek, and it was our tradition, I think that's why the girls didn't sit with us, to sleep through the service. And so when they gave the invitation, it woke us all up. And I stand up, and a little lady, blonde, white-haired lady, had a patch on this eye. The invitation was given. She tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Son, would you like for me to go down with you?" Now, I want you to know, I wanted, my heart's desire, I wanted to be a crooked lawyer. Because that's the only kind I knew. I really wanted to be a crooked politician. Because that's the only kind I knew. But she put her hand on my shoulder and said, "Son, would you like for me to go down with you?" And I said, "No, ma'am. I know what God wants me to do. And I walked the aisle and said, God called me to be a preacher. I can't tell you what kind of pandemonium broke out in our youth group. My brother didn't believe it. My mother didn't believe it. My youth pastor didn't believe it. My friends didn't believe it. Nobody believed it. There's still folks that are not really sure. But remember my story before? The year before, I had sang a song that said, the Savior's waiting. And I had said, God, when you say go, I'll go. When you say come, I'll come. And God called me there. Now, God doesn't call everybody to be a preacher, but he calls everybody to be his servant. He calls everyone to be a minister. So God's always changing your attitude. And I want to ask you folks, when's the last time? Tough question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. When's the last time God broke your heart about something, changed your attitude about it? When's the last time that's happened? Well, it may be because you're living in the world of am I available or not? Because until you surrender availability, that's when God changes your attitude, the renewing of your mind. Now here's the fourth one. God's always directing his assignment. God's always directing his assignment. Ananias, go talk to Saul. Lord, I hear you, but I'm not sure about it. Well, he's my servant. He's going to suffer many things for the gospel. And Ananias went. And what did he do? Brother Saul, he prayed on him. And what happened? Saul could see. And he followed the Lord in believer's baptism. God's always directing his assignment. Moses, go set my people free. Lord, I'm not available. I don't speak well. God changed his attitude. And what did he do? He led the people out of captivity. The Old Testament picture of salvation is Moses leading the people through the Red Sea. That's victory. And so God's always directing his assignment. What's God's assignment? I'm going to do something tonight. I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you personally, but I'm going to ask you as a church. What's God saying to you? What's God's voice to you tonight? What's he saying to you about your life? Are you listening? Are you listening to God? Are you paying attention? Are you available? God called you. Would you be available? I have a missionary friend named Charlie Townsend, missionary to Indonesia. He preached to my church one time. And he said this. I'll never forget it. He says, God may not want you to be a missionary, but if he does, would you go? You know what? I don't think my folks like that very much. But if God does, would you go? If God calls you, will you go? Not just to be a missionary, but whatever God calls, will you go? Are you available? Are you willing for God to change your attitudes and direct his assignment? I'm going to ask you that as an individual. I'm going to ask you that as a church. As a church family. Are you listening? Are you paying attention to God? I've enjoyed myself so much these couple of days. But are you listening? God speaking? You hearing him? Focused? Are you available? Are you available for what God might want? Are you making yourself available to be the church God wants to be on this corner? Are you available if it means to change something or step out of your comfort zone? Are you available? Are you willing for God to change your attitudes, change what's not right, make what right should be right, so God can direct His assignment. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. I want to just use the organ tonight, if I could. Just the organ. You can just play whatever you want. I'm going to do something tonight because this is supposed to be something like a revival. But I want to do something tonight. I want to ask Brother Joe to come to the front. Just kind of represent the church tonight. I want to ask you to do something. If you say tonight with me, I'm going to step down and say this to Brother Joe in just a minute. Lord, I'm available. Say, Brother Joe, I want you to know, I want my church to know, I'm available for what God's going to do in my life. I wonder if you'd just come take His hand. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to ask you just to get up. We're not going to stand. But if you just want to, and you got another decision you need to make, I'm going to be right over here. But I want you to take Joe's hand and say, Joe, I'm available. Whatever God wants, I'm available. I want to ask some of our deacons, you come first, guys. You be the leaders. And let's do this tonight.